produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
In John 21, I want to begin reading, and I'm reading, picking up at verse 14. And in verse 14, I'm going to read until verse 19. I'm going to read to verse 19. And John chapter 21, I'm reading from the King James Version on a day. And it reads in verse 14, "This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these?' He saith unto him, 'Yea, Lord, you know that I love thee.' He saith unto him, 'Feed my lambs.' He saith to him again the second time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' He saith unto him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he saith unto him, 'Feed my sheep.' He saith unto him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, 'Lovest thou me?' And he said unto him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you girdest yourself and walkest whither you wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, then thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither you don't want to go.' This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, 'Follow me.'" As we continue on in this series, Revived, look at somebody shout, "Revived." I wanted to deal with this because in John 21, as we left off on last week, as we dealt with the fact that the fish that they had caught, 153 fish that they had brought to the shore and laid them out on the shore. And as Jesus has a fire going and they're beginning to dine, the Bible says in verse 12 that we did not read, Jesus gives an invitation. And there are five invitations that Jesus gives, and I want them to put those up. There are five invitations that he gives. Now, you could take a picture of them, write them down however you need them. However, these are notes for your Bible, your personal reflection of Bible study this week. And they are, he gives an invitation in the Gospels, Jesus does. The first one he says, "Come and see." And that's John chapter 1, verse 39. The second one is, "Come and learn." Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. The third one is, "Come and rest." That's Mark chapter 6, verse 31. And the fourth one is, "Come and dine," in John 21, verse 12, which we didn't read. And then he says, "Come and inherit," in Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 to verses 36. So notice the invitations that Jesus gives in the Gospels. He says, "Come and see, come and learn, come and rest, come and dine, come and inherit." I need us all to be clear about something that Jesus invites us in this chapter to dine with him. The Bible says, as he says, come and dine, that none of the disciples in verse 12 dare ask who he is, because they knew exactly who Jesus is. They knew it was the Lord, is what they're saying. And the Bible says in verse 14 that this is the third time that Jesus shows himself to his disciples after his resurrection. And in verse 15, when they had dined, Jesus says, Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? And he's pointing literally at the fish. They're over talking. The conversation are the fish that are aligned on the seashore. Those 153 fish that are left over now that they are talking about. And Jesus asks, do you love me more than these? Many of us, we question, Pastor, why are you talking about this on the day? What in the world are you saying? Because to somebody, Jesus is asking the question, do you love me more? And it's whatever it is that he has allowed you to catch. There are some things in your life that Jesus has allowed you to get, obtain, and even maintain. And Jesus asked the question, do you love me more than this? I don't know who it is I'm talking to. I wish I did, but you disturbed my studying this week for God to ask you this question, do you love me more than the stuff that I've allowed you to get? There are things in our life that we've literally made our gods. Here's my first point before I get sidetracked. Understand this. They were fishermen. Jesus is trying to make them fishers of men. And I need us to be clear that whatever it is you do, whether you are a teacher or whether you are an attorney, whether you're a doctor or whether you're a warehouse worker, whatever position you serve, that is not who you are. God wants to make you more than that. He wants to make you a winner of souls. The Bible allows us to know they were fishermen, but Jesus is trying to make them fishers of men. You see, the target is to turn the hearts of men to Jesus Christ by presenting the good news. I got a question for somebody this morning that's wiser and smarter, and you're more vibrant than me on social media. You got it going on social media. If Jesus was to come back today, would there be any indication that you love him more than the other stuff? Because for many of us, Jesus is excluded in our personal lives. Oh, on Sunday from 9:30 till around 12, Jesus is the light of my world. But after I leave church, I leave Jesus in the church, and I don't pick him back up until church comes again Sunday morning. But Jesus is calling us to live out our Christian lives past Sunday morning. He's trying to get us to be fishers of men. The target is to turn the hearts of men to Jesus Christ by presenting the good news. See, you got to hit your target. Look at somebody and shout, hit your target. Yeah, you got to hit your target. You see, if you hit your target, stuff has got to turn around. Look at somebody and shout, it's got to turn around. You see, if I'm winning people to Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ got to turn some stuff around because I'm operating the way he designed for me to operate. You see, the reason many of us are frustrated is because we aren't operating in the perfection of how Jesus allowed us to be built and to operate. Well, got to be a fisherman, and you got to hit your target. If you hit your target, stuff has got to turn around. Let me see if I can make it plain. American Airlines plane was forced to return to the airport on last Sunday morning in Columbus, Ohio, after a bird strike. Bird strike sparked an engine fire. I want you to hear this. The Boeing 737 designated flight 1958 had departed from Columbus for Phoenix before the crew reported a possible bird strike at around 8 a.m. local time. The FAA decided y'all need to turn that plane around and go land the plane. Don't try to go to your destination, but you got to turn around. I need to tell somebody in here that if birds can turn a 737 around, what can prayer and obedience do to my life? Is there anybody here that knows it's some stuff that's trying to take you out? But when you learn how to be faithful to God, to trust God, is there anybody here that knows God will turn some stuff around? Look at somebody and shout, he'll turn it around. You gotta hit your target. I'm about to hit my target. I feel God saying you're going to hit your target. Yeah, you got to hit your target. You got to allow God to be implemented in every aspect of your life. Notice these disciples are invited to come and dine. Verse 14, this is now the third time. Verse 15, Simon, do you love me more than these fish? His casual conversation, like many of ours would be, our response would be a knee-jerk reaction. We would simply say, Lord, yeah, I love you. Oh, yeah. I love you more than my Instagram page. Lord, I love you more than my Facebook page. But your time on social media far outweighs your time with God. You love checking like and love on everything that's funny. When was the last time you posted some scriptures up on your page? Okay. You ain't even got to post me on your page. I said some scripture. Notice what he says. He says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus says, feed my lamb. That's what he says. He says, feed my lambs. And notice, I don't have time to stay there, but he says, feed my lambs. And then he says again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? He says unto him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Okay, stop right there. He says, I love you more than the fish. But when he asks him a second time, do you love me? He quickly replies, you know I love you. Let me see. Many of us, we love God, but it's on a like level. Miss Caroline, listen, you can tell somebody that was good right there. You need to turn to glory and say that was good right there. We love God, but we do it on a like level. And for many of us, we flip stuff around. The stuff we say we like, we do it on a love level. Well, you know, I like shopping. No, you love shopping. When we look at what you give in church versus what you spend in the store, many of your outfits cost more than the tithe you put in a month. So you say you like, but realistically, you love. And what you say you love, you really like. I'm just preaching the Bible, y'all. I knew if I got up here and said a whole bunch of aha revelation stuff, y'all would love that. But when you preach the word of God, I know how it is. Peter says, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you. If you love me, then why aren't you doing what I advised of you to do? Okay. Let me. Maybe Peter is suffering. Maybe Peter is suffering and he has trauma. Shout trauma. You know, because they've just seen Jesus and all that he went through in the crucifixion. They just saw him get beaten. And you know, that stuff leaves trauma. I don't care what you say, it leaves trauma. Maybe he's suffering from trauma. And I want to deal with that. I want to segue. I don't want to eisegete the text, but I do want to help you, because many of us, the reason why maybe we're not doing what God has assigned for us to do is because we're suffering from trauma. Maybe you've been hurt in the church. Maybe you tried to do your best in church. Maybe you went to a church and something happened and you're hurt. I can understand church hurt. I've been hurt in the church myself, and I understand what it means to be hurt in the church. I also know what it means to be hurt in the barbershop. But I go every week. I know what it means to be hurt at the grocery store. But I eat all the time. Know what it means to be hurt in a restaurant? I know what it means to have to leave a restaurant because you were hurt. However, I left that restaurant and went to another restaurant, sat down, and ordered my food. I understand what it means to be hurt. Come in for a minute, because some of you use hurt as a crutch to not serve the Lord. And no matter how bad you've been hurt in the church, God didn't hurt you. No matter what man or what woman hurt you in the church, I'm still going to come and serve the Lord, because the Lord has been good. Is there anybody here that knows he's been too good for me not to serve him? So you've got trauma, you've been hurt in the church. I hear you saying, Pastor, I can't serve in church. I can't do this in church. However, you've allowed the devil to place perimeters around you that allows you not to serve the Lord. Because you do understand that if God can forgive you for all the people you've hurt, you've got to in turn allow yourself to forgive those that have hurt you. So what? They overlooked you. They didn't know your value. Well, you know, they took the money and they did whatever. They got an answer for that. You don't. You know, he came on to me. He ain't the only one that came on to you. You ought to be grateful somebody like you. And just because he came on to you don't mean you got to reciprocate and do anything that you don't want to do. He came on to you, okay, Pastor, I don't do that. I'm not with that. You are my spiritual father. I don't know why you like me like that. That's nasty. You don't need to do that. Now, can you pray P-R-A-Y for me and not P-R-E-Y me? You've been hurt. You got trauma, I understand. Listen, you've got to serve the Lord. You can let nothing, Romans chapter 8 says, don't let nothing, things that in the past, things that in the present, or things to come, don't let nothing separate you from the love of Christ. Look at somebody, tell them, don't let nothing separate you. So let me get back. Trauma. They may have had trauma. And what trauma causes you to do, trauma causes change you don't choose. Trauma causes change you do not choose. Look at somebody, tell them, I know that's right. I didn't know
that what happened to me was going to cause the pain. I didn't choose that. Okay, let me help you out today. Because if trauma causes change, you don't choose. Healing is about creating change you do choose. You see, that's the problem. I knew you was going to shout about the trauma, but you couldn't shout on the healing. Because many of us, we want to stay in what happened to us. Because you feel you get more attention if you stay in what happened to you. Listen, I don't have time to stay in what happened to me. What happened to me? So what? Listen, let me tell y'all, I got a past of church hurt, but I can't stay in what happened to me. I've got to move past that because God has more for me. I would have missed out on everything God has for me if I would have been mean and nasty and ugly to people coming into church because church people ain't right. Church people this and church people that and church people two-faced it. And church people lie. They manipulative and all of that. But you got to choose to heal. Healing is about creating change. You choose. Let me help somebody out. Because you need to understand this phrase. And I heard this earlier this week in a conference we went. Let me repeat it right here. I am healing. I am not healed. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm healing. I am not healed. God is still healing me. Let me give you these. Mistakes will still happen. Y'all, some folk gonna overlook you. You know, people always say, well, I don't understand why don't nobody use me. Do you make yourself available? Because don't nobody know what you can do if you hide and won't let nobody know what you can do. Man, I wish I was preaching Larice Eulogy right now because he's a great example. I remember when we met him, he was all docile at the bank at Walmart. He'd come in, hey, how you doing? We didn't know all of that was in him. We didn't know he could be over the dance team. He was in praise team. He was going to encourage folk, anything you ask him to do. We had no idea of that. But what we did was we did not assess him for where he was. We knew that if you give a person an opportunity to go through the door, they knew how to build a house. Some of us, the reason why we ain't built nothing is because you won't walk through nothing. It's not until you're able to walk through some valleys of the shadow of death that you will understand you ought not fear no evil. Is there anybody here that knows I ain't fearing no evil because I understand thou is with me. Let me get back on script. Mistakes will still happen. Weak moments will still happen. You're going to have weak moments. Look at somebody and shout, you're going to have weak moments. Every now and then I have weak moments. I don't know about you, but I have weak moments. All of us have weak moments. Because truthfully, to deny ourselves means to deny our flesh. And what your flesh is attracted to and craves is what you go after. And can I be transparent? You know, all of us don't have the same issue of temptation and sin. You see, your issue might be dealing with a man or a woman. Mine might be dealing with buying stuff. Your issue might be that you have a problem dealing with holding the truth. Mine might be I have a problem gossiping. All of us don't have the same issue. You see, many of us, we like to judge people based upon the book because we don't have that same cover. Let me see if I can make that plain. You know, you ain't dealing with no food issues. You got your weight in check. Every time they put a cauliflower in their mouth, they gain 5 pounds. You ain't dealing with the same issue. And we love to judge people. Well, I don't understand why they just don't go running for a minute. Your metabolism ain't built like theirs. They can't just lose weight like you can. Stop judging them and accept them for who they are. Amen. Now understand, weak moments will still happen. Here's another one. Sometimes you will cry. Man, let me tell you, when I was younger, I didn't cry about nothing. Man, older I get, I cry about everything. You know, my daddy, you know, he built me tough, you know. That's how I was constructed, tough. Nothing, you don't cry in front of folk, you don't cry, period. You gotta be tough. And so nothing bothered me, you know. Best friends were dying left and right. All my best friends, I've had three personal best friends that died before the age of 21. Amen, that's rough. And each one of them, two of them I went to the funeral. One of them I couldn't go to the funeral because I was preaching. And each one of them, I had to tell myself, well, I'll see them later. And that was my coping mechanism. I'm trying to tell you, the older I get now, somebody gets sick, I just go to cry. What's that character on Wanda on Good Time? You open the door. If I come see you in the hospital and I'm crying, boy, I'm trying to tell you, you wake up and look at me. You're in bad shape. So understand, sometimes you're going to cry. It's okay to cry. Look at somebody, tell them it's okay to cry. And listen, don't sit there and be pretending as though you're too strong to cry. Cry. Don't let nobody tell you, well, you don't need to cry. God gonna wipe all your tears from your eye. He is, and I'm gonna keep crying them too, till I ain't got no more tears left. Cry. That's part of the healing process. Men, it's okay to cry. Look at somebody, tell them it's okay. Look at another man, tell him it's okay for you to cry. I understand, you ain't Father's Day, they just gonna get you a pair of socks, a necktie. Cry, it's okay. Mother's Day, you went and got a dress, the matching shoes, a hat, the pearls to go with it, took her to dinner, and that Father's Day, all you gonna get is a pair of socks and an ugly necktie. It's okay for you to cry. Here's the next one. Other times you will feel withdrawn. I don't know if I put these on the notes or not, but other times you will feel withdrawn. In other words, you will be withdrawn from other people. And it's okay. It's okay for you to be withdrawn. Listen, there are times I don't want to be I'll come in and staff's trying to talk, and they'd be like, oh, he don't, you know. I'd be like, hey, I just need a minute. Just give me a minute. And Janine will tell everybody, he all right, just give him a minute. It's okay. Then once I get myself together, I sit at the table. Hey, how y'all doing? You know, I put myself together. Hey, how y'all doing? Everybody, hey, how you doing? Y'all go on, lead the meeting. Go on, do. You know, I interject here and there once I get started, once I get, you know, good. But sometimes you got to feel withdrawn. And after I preach, I don't like nobody asking me no deep questions. Don't come to me asking me no deep questions after I done preached. I done preached 40 minutes, I done prepared all week long, and you want to ask me, so Pastor, I need to make a life decision. Oh, really? Don't ask me after I preach. Give me a day or two to rest, get myself together. Because I poured out so much in preaching. Been up all night, tossing and turning for the last few days, because I want to make sure that what I'm giving you is fresh bread. I want to feed his sheep. So other times, you're going to be withdrawn. That's normal. You know, I come through and I'm trying to speak to everybody. Hey, how you doing? And one person get upset because I didn't speak to him. I didn't mean anything. I mean to speak to everybody. I really do. I mean to speak to everybody I come in contact with. I am not the kind of person that will pass a person and not speak to them. If you ever meet me, listen, I do not mean not to speak to you. I may have 100 things on my mind. I'm trying to figure out, did we do the announcements? Did we get that video done? Is the audio correct? Is the video stream good? Is the sermon good? Is everybody in place? Did everybody show up for work? Is anybody on the parking lot? Did security do such and such and such? Oh, we forgot to get the grass cut this week. I need to text so-and-so because they got to cut the grass. I need to tell Janine, write a check for so-and-so. Then I need to get a car for so-and-so. It's so-and-so birthday. We forgot to do so-and-so birthday. Oh, after church, we got to clean this and we got to move this. And then we got to make sure all the cameras are off, all the lights are off. We got to do, I'm doing all of that and you mad at me because I forgot to say hey to you. Other times you will be withdrawn. I'm healing. I'm not healed. Here's another one. You will dislike yourself more so. I dislike others. I'm just being transparent. Sometimes there are two groups of people. There are three groups of people. One group dislikes themselves. One group dislikes others. I'm in that group. Then there's another group, dislike everybody. You got to find and be honest which group you in. Amen. When you are healing and not healed, sometimes, I'm talking to some of us, you will not like what you see. You look in the mirror, you'll be like, oh. You trying to suck it in? Baby, let it go. Just look at somebody shout, let it go. And let it go. As you get older, just let it go. You ain't 20 no more, just let it go. Let it go. Okay. You would dislike yourself. You would dislike others. You dislike other people based on what they do. Now, some people dislike others based upon what somebody said they did. I have a hard time with that one. If you didn't do it to me, I don't care about what others said about you because I give people a chance to, you know, be level with me. I believe in redemption, amen. And just because you did it to them don't mean that I'm gonna let you do it to me. Amen. Look at somebody shout, I know that's right. And let me give you a free piece of advice. You can have this one for free. You ain't gotta give me nothing for this, but let me help you out. Stop disliking others based on what somebody else said. I have people that say, oh, you know, well, you know, they told me about you and this, then, and third. You this, then, and third, and da, 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 da. You a hard person and this, then, and blah, 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 blah. Who told you that? Because all the folk that you would talk to still here with me. And close to me. And I don't know them to be gossipers and talkers. And they certainly wouldn't talk to you like that. Now, it's some folk I fired. And I got rid of. Because I realized who they really were. So if you got it from them or their sources, you might want to check your sources. Look at somebody shout, check your sources. All sources ain't good sources. Okay. Let me get back into this. So I'm healing, I'm not healed. So you got to remember to choose healing and create the change God has given us in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit creates the change I need. So let me give you these three. And I gotta get on through the text. Because he asked him to feed my sheep. And then in verse 17, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved. He's grieved now because he says unto him the third time in verse 17, do you love me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. Okay, let me do it this way. So I'm healing, I'm not healed. Remember to choose healing, create the change God has given us in the Holy Spirit. And there's three things that you got to understand when you choose healing and create the change. Number one, your space. Look at somebody shout, my space. When you say space, just do this. Say, my space. In other words, my space, I got to stay in safe places. When I'm healing, I got to stay in safe places. I don't have time to go in places that ain't safe for me. Too many of us, we trying to go in unsafe territory. Stay in safe places. Look at somebody shout, safe places. Number two, when I choose healing and create the change God has given us in the Holy Spirit, my race. Shout my race. Yeah, I can change the race, and what my race constitutes is what all I get involved with and in. In other words, it's what I choose to be a part of. I can't get involved in everything everybody else wants because I got a lot of people tugging at me. You're going to have a lot of stuff that life is going to bring to you that you've got to choose what's good for you and what's not good. So not only space, but my race. But here's the third one, and these are all mine. These are originally to me. Your space, your race. Number three, your pace. How fast and slow God gives and grace allows me to go. In other words, that's my timing. Shout timing. Some of us, we get ahead of God in the race. Our pace is too fast. You're in a hurry to get married. It ain't married time yet. I remember, man, I was in a hurry to get to where I wanted to be in God. I mean, it was some stuff, man. If God had given me 10 years ago what he's given me access and accountability to now, 10 years ago, my maturity level couldn't handle it. Now I can sit back. I'm at a more mellow state in my life. I ain't in a hurry to get to too many places. Amen. I realize that if I have enough time and God gives me enough ability, he'll add everything along the way that I need to get there. Many of us, we want it right now. I want a wife, I want a kid, I want a house, I want brand new Mercedes, and I want it all now. And the weight of it, you ain't ready for it. It'll crush you. It'll grind you in the dirt. So that's why you gotta have a pace. Look at somebody shout, respect the pace. Okay, let me see if I can help y'all out. It was a zebra in Knoxville, Knoxville Zoo. Zebra in Knoxville Zoo. This was early in the week, and it hit a contain had a it, while in the zoo had a containment wall, and the zebra decided that he was going to hit the containment wall. He ran as fast as he could, and just ran into the containment wall. The zebra died. Ambulances came, paramedics came, vets. They tried to work on the zebra. I don't know if they gave mouth to mouth, but they worked on him. Boy, y'all a rough group, I'm telling you. However, they worked on him as long as they could. Zebra was dead. Didn't make it. Ambulance, I mean, they did everything they could do with the zebra. But they found out the zebra died, watch this, because he hit what was trying to help him stay in. Many of us, our problem is we're in a hurry to get places. And you're killing yourself by doing stuff that is designed to help you stay fenced in. Listen, you can't keep up with certain people. Stop looking at somebody else's test and, oh, let me see. No, you ain't built like that. Well, you know, if they did it, then I can do it. No, you don't know what all they're doing and how all God is blessing them and what all they planted. Stop looking at somebody else's blessing and focus on what God is doing for you. Let me come around home base as I get ready to close on this in verse 17. Peter was grieved. Third time, do you love me? He says unto him, Lord, you know all things. Look at somebody shout all things. I want to introduce you to this word, this term right here, because Peter has a past. This is my last point. Peter has a past, a present, and a future, because it picks up in verse 18 and 19. But let me give you this point right here on the past, present, and future. God is omniscient. The term omniscient means God is all-knowing. Look at somebody shout, he knows it all. He knows your past, knows what you're doing in the present, and he knows what he's going to do in the future. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. Let me close it out this way. Notice in verse 18, he says, verily, verily. In other words, the term verily means truthfully. Truly, truly, I say unto you, when you were young, you gird yourself and walk whether you would. But when you get old, you're going to stretch forth your hands. Now, he's talking about him being crucified. He's talking about Peter being crucified. And we understand that when Peter died, he was crucified. And when he died and they were crucifying him, he said, I'm not worthy to die the same death that Jesus died. So what I want you to do is I want you to turn this cross upside down. So when they crucified Peter, not only did they crucify him, they turned the cross upside down. Notice what Jesus is telling him in verse 18. When you die, you're going to die with your hands stretched out. Let me see. I need to tell everybody this in here because you need to write this down. When we are born, we look like our parents. But when we die, we look like our decisions. When we are born, we're born looking like our parents. People come up to you, oh, you look just like your mama. Look at your hands just like your daddy. I don't know who you look like. But when we are born, we look like our parents. But when we die, we look like our decisions. What decisions are you making now? That's what you look like in death. God is omniscient, he's all-knowing. Peter has a past, he has a present, and he has a future. I don't have time to deal with that today, but notice what Jesus tells him to do, verse 17, that latter part, feed my sheep. That's what he says. He says, feed my sheep. That term, feed my sheep, literally means give them the word of God. Peter, don't try to befriend them. Peter, don't try to go to their houses and sit at their tables. That's not what I want you to do. Peter, feed my sheep. Now, that's fine if you do that. That's all wonderful. But your main primary job, Peter, is to feed my sheep. Feed them, not junk food, not the latest Inquirer or the latest National Geographic article. That's fine. But feed them the Word of God. In other words, if your diet is majority of junk, you're going to be junky people. You've got to stay in the Word of God. I'm done when I tell you this. He spake, signifying in verse 19, by what death he should glorify God. When he has spoken this, he says unto them, follow me. That term follow is a unique word. It's continuous motion. It does not mean follow me one time. Veronica, what it means is, it means to keep on following. Look at somebody shout, keep on following. Maurice, it does not mean follow him just when things are going right in your life. Pat, it does not mean just follow me when you got some money in the bank. Ben, he says, follow me and keep on following me. Look at somebody shout, keep on following. Shannon, he says, I want you to follow me on good days and bad days. You got to keep on following. And see, many of us, we only follow him if the weather is right. But God ain't looking for no fair weather Christians. He says, keep on following me. When things don't look right, keep on following me. When you are downtrodden, keep on following me. When things are not working together the way you feel they should, you keep on following me. When you're down and even depressed, he says, keep on following me. I like that. You better keep on. Look at somebody shout, keep on following the Lord. I'm done, but you got to keep on following. Let me close it out this way. I'm done. I read this week, and it made all the sense in the world. So I want to do it this way. Peter has a past. He has a present. He has a future. Let's see. I want to go this way. I want to do both of them, but my time ran out, so I'm only be able to do one. I'm gonna do this one and give you this the other one another time. Richard Branson, the billionaire owner of Virgin Atlantic, was about to fly 6,000 miles in a hot air balloon. I've flown in a hot air. Janine got me to fly in a hot air balloon with her mom and dad last summer. And I'm not a big hot air balloon fan because I understand, you know, my logic don't allow me to do certain things. When you talk about, I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to what a hot air balloon is before I finish the illustration. I'm going to give you this for free. This ain't in the notes. A hot air balloon is literally a basket floating on air attached to gas. In other words, it's a gas balloon. You get it? A gas balloon. 6,000 feet in air, ain't no parachutes on you. If something happens with the balloon or the gas, and we saw this a few days ago, many of you may have seen it on the internet, there was a balloon that caught fire in the air, and as the balloon was on fire, y'all, I mean the balloon literally burned the family alive in the basket, and the one that jumped from the basket, I believe she even died as well. I ain't too excited about hot air balloons, but let me get back to the story. 6,000 miles, Richard Branson, billionaire, owner of Virgin Atlantic. He's about to fly across the Pacific Ocean. And before he got ready to go up and fly, the news station ITV anchor, and this is according to CNN and HBO, who did a documentary, told him, you may as well come on in and see all of what we're doing in this news booth. They had a temporary makeshift portable news booth that they had set up to watch his inaugural flight across the Pacific Ocean. And when they invited Richard Branson, who was just passing through on his way to get in a balloon, they said, come on in. He comes in, and they got all these graphics in the booth, and they got all this videography in the booth, and they had already prepared Richard Branson's obituary before he took flight. When they interviewed Richard Branson afterwards, he said, it was strange to see that, but I was prepared to go up. And in going up, I was going up in that hot air balloon regardless of what they had written. And I understand stuff seems strange in life, but you got to know you well prepared to do what you've been assigned to do. Let me see if I can make that a little clearer. You see, many times it don't look right and people write you off. They even write your obituary down and they say it ain't going to work. They tell you you're going to die in the process and this, that, and the third because ain't nobody ever done it like that before. You don't. They don't know why you even trying to do it. But you've got to know that regardless of what people may say, that God has the final say so. And if God says you're going up and over, is there anybody here that knows I'm going up and over? Look at somebody, tell them I'm going up, but I'm also going over. Is there anybody here that knows I'm going up, but I'm going over? This is where I wanted to close. Richard Branson, even though he's seen his obituary, he saw the video. Can you imagine looking and somebody shows you your obituary? He was born March 2nd, 1974. He died such and such January 3rd, 2023. I put it in past tense because I'm still alive. Amen. And understand, notice, even though there's a video that says he's dead, he's up in the balloon and makes it over. He goes up, goes over. Let me give you this scripture and I'm done. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. It says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. He says, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Beloved, think it not strange. Thinking not strange. Look at somebody shout, thinking not strange concerning your fiery trial, which is to try you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.